Australia's secret paedophile tape. Martin North, John Adams, In the Interest of People. John, we're back.
Hello, Martin. It has been a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Yes, it has been a while, but we've got some very important conversations to have on IOTP relating to what the government is and what the government isn't or not should be doing, isn't doing, is doing, and some very important conversations that we're going to have.
Absolutely, Martin. So I want the audience to know is it's been about a year. We probably broadcasted in September 2024, so we're back. What I would describe as our new season. Last season was all about ASIC. This season is all about corruption. And true to form, we're going to talk about real things that we can prove that are on the record and things that will be brought up in Parliament. And so people should treat these programs as extremely seriously because there'll be people watching this content and there could be, you know, defamation risk and things like that. So, but we're not going to shy away from the big issues. And Martin, we met for the first time in 2018, and we started this journey looking at initially the economic debt bubble, and then we started looking at issues around banking and politics, and then COVID happened, and we looked at issues around those issues, and then I sort of took a different path down towards looking at corporate fraud and ASIC. And all I can say, Martin, is, and I'm being quite sincere, the more I dig into what's happening in this country, the more I come to the conclusion that we're drowning in corruption. There's corruption everywhere at every level of the government, federal, state, local, corporate corruption, we have these so-called anti-corruption bodies that are not doing their job. And I think it's time that we inform the public as to how deep the corruption goes. And tonight's episode is perhaps a very good way to start because there is nothing more serious than pedophilia. And there's a very big secret that's been brewing for quite a while. And we're going to reveal it here. And in the next few weeks, this issue is going to be raised in the federal parliament as well.
Yeah, and I do want to say, I think, John, I've talked for some time about the performative nature of politics in Australia. In other words, people are saying and doing things for the purpose of saying and doing things rather than actually for real purpose. And when you put that and the corruption together, you have a highly ineffective government essentially wreaking havoc on ordinary people and no accountability for what they're doing. And I think the accountability part of this story is also really important too.
Absolutely. Before we dive into in terms of this secret tape that I've had in my possession for the last 2 years, one key point I just want to say, Martin, is that last year there was a survey that was reported by news.com, and there was a think tank called Think Forward. And it found that basically Australians under the age of 35, so Gen Z and millennials, believe that 97% of them believe that politicians are corrupt. And it's not just that I think there's corruption. There is a general consensus among millions of Australians, particularly young Australians, that the system is not working for the common good. It's not working for the interests of the people. And there is endemic corruption right throughout this country. And people are getting extremely frustrated with the state of the nation. And that's why you see people embracing extremist ideologies, including in the last 2-3 weeks, 150 Nazis marching on the streets of Melbourne at 1 a.m. And singing and chanting as if this was the 1930s in Germany. That was a quite stunning display on the streets of Melbourne. But, and you know, while some people may point to racism, there's a deeper issue at play. And it's the state of the economy, it's the cost of living crisis, but it's also a non-responsive political system and people viewing the system as endemically corrupt and that they can't engage with our politicians. And the only way that they think that they can get their point across is to march on the streets and embrace Adolf Hitler. And that is the, that is the consequence of not getting this corruption issue under control. We're seeing a society that's fraying at the edges. And if we don't actually do something to restore confidence in the system, we're going to head to a direct, we're gonna, the country's gonna go into a certain direction that that could lead to very bad consequences.
I think you're right, John. And my observation is this, that the main stream of narrative, from the ABC and everybody else, doesn't really get into some of these critical issues. It's a bit too hot for them to handle. And what we are trying to do here is to shine that spotlight to highlight what's really going on. But obviously, we're interested in not just shining a spotlight, but also trying to wrought change. But step one is to raise awareness, and that's what we're doing with IoTP at the moment.
Indeed. So I want to set the scene, Martin, because obviously the title of the show is quite provocative, but it's very, very real. There was some commentary about a decade ago about a broadcast by the ABC about pedophilia that was broadcasted about 50 years ago. So, Martin, in the last 20 years on ABC TV, there's been a program called Late Line. In the 1970s, Late Line was a radio program. In July of 1975, there was the most controversial program in Australian history, and that is when they interviewed when a host called Richard Neville, who was a pedophile, an admitted pedophile, interviewed three other pedophiles and a teenager, and of course, an enormous amount of controversy at the time. I learned about this recording about a decade ago, and a couple of years ago, I was quite interested to see if I could get my hands on the recording. I had to go through an extensive process to get the recording, and I had to pay some money, fill out a form, I had to sign a legal document with the enormous restrictions as to what I could do with the recording. I received it a couple of years ago, and the only person who I've shared it with is you, Martin. And it is the most evil and disgusting recording ever that I would say in the history of Australian broadcasting. And it's high time that we talk about this issue openly because, Martin, we've done a show in the past where Senator Heffernan talked about in 2015 about 28 people, 28 suspected pedophiles on a police document list, and that topic has caused enormous controversy, particularly on social media, and that's really gone nowhere. But this recording is something that I wanted to share with the public, and I actually wanted to play certain excerpts of the recording to our audience. And only last week did I write to the ABC and ask them to release me of those conditions, and they said no. And so, unfortunately, for the audience who may think that this is a made-up story, Martin, I think you can confirm that you've heard the recording. The recording is real. I've definitely heard the recording, but unfortunately, due to legal restrictions placed on me by the ABC, we can't actually show the audience this, the true history of pedophilia in Australia.
Yes, I'm familiar with the recording, John, and I'm also familiar with the various dialogues that you've had with the ABC about it, and can confirm that this is completely real and completely shocking, frankly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we get into what was actually said on this particular broadcast, because I do want to actually go to some of the details so people actually understand what this secret recording was all about. Martin, if we can just go to slide one. So slide one is the conditions I had to sign in order to get the recording from the ABC. And just very quickly, point one, the first condition was that the above listed segment shall be used for personal viewing only in a private setting. Two, that the material shall not be broadcast or communicated to the public by any means, including but not limited to communication via the internet or any social media platform copied, shown to a paying audience, or used for any commercial purpose. And three, that the material not be included in whole or in part in further publications, sound recordings, or media projects. So these are the conditions that I signed up to get the recording. I had no choice. If I didn't sign the document, they would have denied me access. And then as I was preparing for tonight's recording with you, Martin, I did go to the ABC via their lawyers and say, I did sign a document. I did sign up to these conditions. Can I be released from these conditions so I can show the Australian people what happened in 1975? And the answer is no. When I did email them, if we go to slide two, Martin, just to show the audience what the response was, this is the response from some people at the ABC. They said, "Dear John, thank you for your inquiry. The ABC does not license or supply ABC segments/content for distribution via social media platforms as you describe. You may publish/distribute a link to the content if the content is available on an ABC platform." And Martin, what I can confirm tonight is that this recording is not on any ABC platform. The ABC does not want the Australian people to know that this recording exists. And what is shocking, and this is only something that's come to hand in the last 24 hours, and I've showed this to you, in 2018, Senator Erica Betts in the Australian Senate put a question on notice about this particular recording. And the ABC to Parliament on the record said, quote, "The ABC does not have a record of the interview." So I want people to understand the significance of this. There is a pedophile tape from 1975 where people admit to pedophilia on the radio in this country. And 7 to 8 years ago, when the question was asked of the ABC about this recording, the official response of the ABC was, "We don't have a record of it." If that's true, how did I get access to the recording? That just shows you that there is deep forces at play in this country who want to sweep the ugly history that has been happening in this country for too long under the carpet and pretend that it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist then. It doesn't exist now. And it's this enormous cover-up operation. And the fact that they went on the record and said this record, well, they have no record of the recording. I fell off my chair this morning when someone sent me the document, and I've had it, and I went to the Parliament's website to confirm its existence. But that is the official position of the ABC. They don't have a record of the interview, and yet I was able to obtain it from the ABC after signing a legal document. And the fact that this has been denied, this is going to be coming up in early October when the ABC will be facing the Australian Senate and taking questions.
Yeah, it's a bit 1984-ish, isn't it, John? If you think about the whole concept of 1984 was that effectively history was rewritten and things were being rewritten out of history. It's a bit like what's going on in the US at the moment as well. So it is interesting how sometimes people want to sort of sweep away the past and not confront it. But of course, it does beg the question then, well, who's actually in control? Who's making those decisions? And why are they hiding what they're hiding?
Indeed. Now, what I want to do now, Martin, is to get into some of the content so people understand what this recording was all about. So this recording goes for about 42 minutes, and it starts off talking about a very perverted definition of pedophilia versus what they call pederasty. So, Martin, if we put slide three on the screen, so the host, Richard Neville, starts this program and says, quote, "Pedophilia is an assault on a young child by a man. Pederasty is a homosexual relationship of a man with a boy." And what they were trying to get at in this definition was that people who are pederasts are able to have consensual sex with children as young as 12, and the boy in this circumstance is able to give consent, and therefore that is not criminal. It's not pedophilia, and there's no coercion, and therefore it's acceptable. And the disturbing thing at the time, Martin, was that when this broadcast went to air in 1975, the chairman of the ABC, who was appointed by the Whitlam government, published an op-ed in the Sydney Morning Herald and basically said that the Australian people need to understand the culture of these men who do these acts. That was just absolutely disgusting then. It's disgusting now. And Martin, can I just say, if this broadcast was ever put, if this recording was ever broadcasted in 2025, there would be a revolution because it is beyond the pale as to what these people confess to.
Yeah, and I suppose you on one hand could argue the toss saying, well, of course, standards have changed, et cetera, but standards may have changed somewhat, but nevertheless, back then, it's still not acceptable and appropriate. And trying to define it in a particular way is like trying to define angels on the head of a pin, really. It's shameful and disgraceful.
Yeah. Now, Martin, so the question is, well, who was interviewed? So, as I said, Richard Neville was the host. They interviewed three men who were in their 30s, and there was a teenager also being interviewed. And that teenager was someone who was engaged in sexual relations with some of the men who were in terms of this panel discussion. And I should say that this was not a balanced discussion. This was a discussion that was basically trying to make pedophilia acceptable. And obviously, this definition that we just went through, I don't accept at all. 12-year-olds cannot give consent. And there's good scientific evidence that children as young as 12 don't have the maturity and their brain development isn't at a level where they can make rational decisions. And yet, all forms of justification was given for this type of behavior, including that pedophilia was a form of, it was a vehicle of education in ancient Greece. That was actually one of the justifications that they had. And these pedophiles basically said that in the course of these acts, they were giving their wisdom and knowledge to these children. And these children basically either came from broken homes where the fathers didn't exist, or that the fathers were somehow deficient in their parenting responsibilities. But on the other hand, they did basically admit to bribing the children through gifts. They did admit to engaging in deception, and they were able to deceive, the parents if the parents were around in order to get access to the children. And they did admit to either being physically bashed or, arrested by police in certain circumstances. But also, and this is, one of the key points here is that they did admit that some of these boys that as they grew older became very resentful over the relationship or whatever you want to call it that they had with these pedophiles. So if this was consensual, if this was a genuine interaction between two human beings, why would there be resent down the track? And the reality is, Martin, is that these were sexual predators who came up with all forms of justification for their conduct. And what we know from the last 20, 30 years of Australian history, particularly the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, is that when children, even teenagers who are exposed to this form of behaviour, it scars them for life. It leads to suicide. It leads to massive mental health and emotional problems down the track. And the fact that at some point in Australian history, this was openly encouraged and said that we had to accept it and we had to understand why these men engage in these acts. It's just unbelievable that that form of perverted logic was seen as suitable for broadcast in 1975.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder who they were thinking about in terms of their prospective audience as well. If you think about the narrative that they were trying to propagate, why were they trying to propagate it, and why were they given airtime on the ABC in the first place?
Just to get into some of the more gruesome detail of what was broadcast on this recording. So if we go to slide 4, Martin. So They describe some of these boys as, quote, physically delicious, which is just revolting. And they said that they were looking for boys that had faces of, quote, angelic beauty. How people could describe children in that form was just, I mean, that to me, I thought was quite unbelievable. The thing is that, so some of the other detail that they describe in this recording is one of the pedophiles basically said that he was seeing about 12 boys at any one time and going through some form of rotation. When it came to how they were acquiring these boys, they admitted that they were roaming around schools, high schools, acquiring some of these boys. And then they also admitted that they were actually accessing some of these boys from other pedophiles. So, i.e., there was a network of pedophiles in operation in New South Wales in particular, where they were sharing these boys around. And that's very consistent to some of the commentary that Senator Heffernan made back in 2015, in terms of the 28 people on that particular list. So there was a time where this sort of behavior was quite rampant, and it was so rampant that it made it onto the public airwaves.
Yeah, so John, I guess I'm trying to sort of get my head around all of this, and some of the language and some of the ideas that actually are being pushed out through this particular thing, I find remarkable. I'm, you know, what do you make of it? Why did they do this, and why did they actually allow this to go on the ABC in the first place?
Well, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, in terms of why, I mean, the host basically said that one of the pedophiles who was interviewed, they came up with the idea, and it was worthwhile to communicate some of these ideas to the audience. But Martin, can I just say that the most disgusting, revolting, and evil part of the recording, of all the 42 minutes, the one thing that stands out as the most gruesome is that one of the pedophiles in their 30s started being a pedophile when they were 12, and they admitted to abusing their nephew who was only 3 years old. And when he said that, everyone laughed. I kid you not, Martin. Now, the audience may not know, Martin, is that I have a 3-year-old boy. He's the love of my life. His name's Thomas. Love him to bits. I couldn't imagine anything happening to my son at 3 years old. And yet, in 1975, people talked about abusing 3-year-old children and they laughed about it. And that's why the ABC doesn't want people to know about the history of public broadcasting and what they used taxpayers' money for. Because at that time in the 1970s, there was a sick culture at the ABC and there was certain political people being controlled. People, sorry, there were certain people at the ABC who were in charge, who weren't basically acting in the public interest, and they were promoting this, that they were promoting this clear criminal behavior. And one thing that I'll confirm, Martin, is that I spoke to a retired police officer this afternoon, and they tell me that the statute of limitations hasn't, well, there's no statute of limitations for this conduct. So the people who were on the broadcast 50 years ago in their 30s, they'd be in their 80s now, if they're still alive. And the teenager who was on the broadcast would be in his 60s. Now, the host passed away in 2016, but if any of these people are still alive, if the police want to do something with these people, there is no limitations of the law. And the one thing I'll say, Martin, is before we get into some of the specific quotes, is that when this was broadcast in 1975, the Reverend Fred Nile referred this to the police, and to the best of my knowledge, the police did nothing. So there was no charges, there was no investigation, and it was all swept under the carpet. And the fact that that could happen then and for 50 years, nothing has been done about this, and the ABC basically has pretended that it doesn't exist and has even told Parliament that this recording doesn't exist. It just speaks volumes to the depth of the corruption happening in our country.
Yeah, and this is the point, isn't it? That corruption can touch a number of different entities and they almost mutually reinforce each other to the point where what it means is that corruption can go on, and everybody just looks the other way and says, nothing to see here. And that, of course, is the problem, because what it means is that effectively rules are broken, the law is broken, and nobody looks to look the right way. Everybody looks away and says, nothing to see here, which is not acceptable.
I just want to give a bit of a taste of some of the other shocking statements that were made in the recording. So when it came to the issue of gifts, and they basically admitted they gave gifts to the boys, and the boys basically returned the favor with sexual gratification for the men. The quote that one of the pedophiles made was, quote, "Boys that age are naturally commercial in this society or any society." So this is the sick, perverted logic that they were explaining, that, you know, why were they offering gifts and why were these boys participating in these sexual activities? The justification is that boys are naturally commercial at 12. Martin, I know that you've done a lot of work in terms of small business, and obviously you run your household surveys about mortgage stress and housing finances, etc. I would be surprised if you could confirm whether 12-year-old boys are naturally commercial or not.
Well, it's a question that shouldn't even be thought about or asked, is it? It's ridiculous. This is beyond the pale.
Absolutely. Now, Martin, if we go to the next slide. So the question was asked of some of these men about whether they were causing trauma in terms of these other individuals, look at whether they were causing trauma to the boys. And again, one of the pedophiles said, quote, "The boy is going to be traumatized by society and by the family anyway." So basically, the teenage boy is going to go through trauma. Doesn't matter if the trauma happens at the hands of a pedophile versus their family versus society. Again, this is the sick, perverted logic that was broadcast in 1975, and it was just unbelievably shocking. Now, Martin, if we just go to the last slide, just to round off this conversation, the last slide, basically at the end of the broadcast, so at the end of the 42 minutes, the host, Richard Neville, asked these pedophiles the question, "Are you child molesters?" And immediately they were defensive, and they said, quote, "No way, absolutely not." And one person said, "Why are you even asking that?" And obviously, when I listened to this in 2025, I just cannot think what's going through their mind. And I mean, I obtained this recording 2 years ago, and the first time I heard it, I just couldn't believe that this was ever broadcast on the public airwaves. There's no chance this would ever be broadcast in terms of the 21st century. It's just too revolting. And Martin, I know that the first time you heard it a couple of years ago when I shared it with you, you were quite shocked that this could ever have made it to the public airwaves.
Yeah, well, there were two thoughts. One was that. The other one was this type of behavior, you know, is it still going on? Are there still people abusing kids, hidden away below the surface? I don't know. Never heard of any direct evidence of it, never seen any direct evidence of it. But it does make you wonder, doesn't it? And it makes you wonder what's going on down in the gutter somewhere. But so far as the public broadcast is concerned, the fact that they would even allow that to be released 50-odd years ago is remarkable. And then trying to hide it and say, no, we haven't got a copy of it, is remarkable too. So they really have dug a rather deep hole for themselves, haven't they?
Indeed. Martin, I'll finish off with this. So your question was, is this still happening now? What we can say in terms of what is on the factual record, the former member for Kiama, so obviously, you know, I'm here in the Illawarra, in the Wollongong area, and you used to live here before you went back to the UK. So the member for Kiama was recently convicted in the New South Wales court for rape and child sex abuse, and that involved in one case one person under the age of 18, and there is also another state MP, the former member for Pittwater, who has been charged with pedophilia. So even in the current environment, There have been members of the New South Wales Parliament in the Liberal Party who have been either charged or convicted with child sex abuse, rape, etc. And this issue has not gone away. And if we go back and think about what Senator Heffernan said back in 2015, these issues were quite endemic across society. It happened at not just the common, in terms of the average man level. It happened in elite circles, in the judiciary, in politics, in the media, in the church, obviously, etc. So those institutions which run society and we place enormous trust in, that's where some of this activity was occurring quite a bit, and it was hidden from public view. And so while we've gone through a long history of trying to expose these behaviors and trying to correct what's going on, and only in the last month, Martin, it was there, I think at least one or two individuals in the Victorian childcare sector who were exposed for being pedophiles and basically abusing very young children in Victoria. And the Victorian government and the federal government has responded quite swiftly to those revelations. So this is not a issue that has gone away. It is still with us today. But the fact that this recording from 1975 exists, the ABC has told Parliament we don't have it, and yet I've got it, I've listened to it, and I can't share it with the Australian people. So one of the things I'll be doing in the next few weeks, Martin, is writing to the Minister for Communications, writing to the Shadow Minister, getting people in Parliament to raise this with the ABC and say, publish it on your platform. The Australian people have a right to know our history, how corrupt we are, how corrupt we used to be, and what evil was spoken about 50 years ago. And public disclosure and transparency is critical if we are going to fix this massive problem of corruption that we face right across the nation.
John, this is such an important conversation that we're having here. It's a very worrying conversation. And I think, every Australian should be asking some various serious questions about our public broadcaster, about the way that issues are handled, but more broadly, about this whole issue of how kids are handled and how they're brought up and what protections are in place. And if, in fact, this isn't something that can be discussed within the public discourse because the ABC chooses to hide it, then I have a major problem with that.
That I would agree with you, Martin. And this season of the Interest of the People is to talk openly about corruption, to expose it, and to basically call on to call on our viewers and the broader public to take action so we can push back against the system. And Martin, I should say we've done it in the past. We push back and stopped the cash ban from coming into law. We push back and got an ASIC inquiry. We have done work on other issues behind the scenes, regional bank closures, etc. But the big issue of our day, while the housing crisis and the cost of living crisis are big economic issues and immigration, and people are talking about foreign conflicts in Gaza, etc., the biggest problem that Australia faces is systemic corruption across the country. And if we don't get on top of this, the country's going to be lost.
John, thank you very much for this. It's been a very provocative but very important conversation. I look forward to having more conversations with you ahead. This is Martin North and John Adams in the Interest of the People. We'll see you next time.